This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here. We've got a lot on tap for you today. We're going to talk some LeBron James, officially signing his two-year deal with the 76ers. NFL news out of training camp. Got a couple of situations already brewing that are bear witness to. We're going to do a little NFL player pass it today. Eric Halterman's going to join us with his bets for today. And we'll finish with our best bets at the end of the show as well. Nick Whalen, fresh off his golfing trip to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Welcome back, my friend. Sounds like you are rested. You had a great time up there. You got shocked to see LeBron sign with the mystery team on Friday, right as you're going out the door. Welcome back, my friend. Get to talk about news right away.
It's great to be back. Thanks to our guy, Brandon Kravitz, who we'll be seeing plenty of on this show over the next couple of weeks. Got another golf trip this weekend. I know you're heading out on a long vacation as well, but props to him for stepping in and always does a fantastic job. But yeah, I literally got this news as I was opening my car door to drive to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So kind of a worst case scenario from a work perspective. You know, my first thought, of course, is like, man, I'd love to be on the show right now to react to this in real time. But, you know, I've had the whole weekend now to digest, to look at some of the odds movement. And, you know, we have the Sixers now tied with the New York Knicks at 9-1 to win the finals. Of course, San Antonio and OKC both ahead of those teams. Interestingly, the Knicks are slight favorites to win the East, plus 330 compared to plus 380 for the 76ers. Win total for Philly has jumped up to 50.5, which is interesting, Jeff, because the Sixers did win 45 a year ago. And that was with Embiid playing only 38 games. It was with Paul George missing huge chunks of the season as well. But I will say this. I mean, the East is as deep, as formidable from 1 through 15 as it's been in a while. There aren't going to be a ton of free wins on the schedule for any of these elite teams. And I also think we're going to see both LeBron and Joel Embiid probably pretty aggressively managed in terms of their workloads during the regular season. I mean, bringing in someone like LeBron James at this point in his career, there's one goal, and that is to win the NBA title. It's not to try to win 65 games in the regular season. So the win total to me is something that I would probably stay away from right now. But overall, Jeff, now that I've had a little time to think about this, I think I'm in on LeBron to Philly. It's definitely a weird player city fit. You know, if somebody had told you months ago that LeBron was going to leave the Lakers, I don't think the Sixers would have been even like a top 5 or 10 team that you would put on the list. But the addition of Jaylen Brown, I think, really opened up this possibility. And I think LeBron is also really intrigued by playing with Tyrese Maxey, who of course is a clutch client. I saw a quote from Maxey this morning where he said LeBron has been kind of a big brother figure to him. So I think from a fun perspective, what this does to the NBA next season, I'm all in. It's a lot more fun on LeBron going back to Cleveland a second time. We've already seen that play out. The Miami thing, I think, could have been fun to a degree, but no real relationship with Bam Adebayo or Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I think the Heat, Jeff, come out as pretty big losers here. You know, they have a ton of work to do now to fill out the rest of this roster. And I was looking this up this morning. Miami has longer odds to win the East at this moment, Jeff, than the Milwaukee Bucks did with Giannis on their roster in mid-July a year ago.
That's wild. That's really wild. I think the Heat are in a world of hurt, and I think the Golden State Warriors are the other team that, you know, we're going to get the you know, that bring back the band together sort of mentality, and they brought back nothing really this offseason. I thought that was a surprise as well, but you're right about the Warriors. We're looking at that roster on Friday, and like, I mean, about the Heat, and we're looking at that roster on Friday, Brandon and I, and like, okay, who's going to play? Who are they going to bring in? DeMar DeRozan? Is he walking through that door? Would that help that team? You know, it's really you question, okay, what was their planning like? If they didn't get LeBron, did they have a contingency plan? We know about the leaked memo, the fake, you know, the whatever that was, the fake Instagram post, whatever it was. Oh, we're just planning ahead. Were they surprised by this? Was this a last minute swoop? I don't know. But it's really devastating, though, for the Heat, though.
I truly think that was just a mistake, by the way, by a Heat staffer. There's been some reporting on that apparently the person in charge of the YouTube account was going on vacation and wanted to get out ahead of a potential LeBron signing. So I think that was just one big, weird, unintentional smokescreen. I mean, all the reporting around this is that there were no real leaks. I think every team thought they were in it among those top five. And Philly was probably as surprised as Cleveland or Miami were that they ended up landing LeBron at the last second. As far as, you know, looking at this Philly roster, Jeff, you know, they should be able to pick up some more depth if they want. You know, maybe you could swap out some pieces, probably closer to the deadline at this point. I mean, they're up against it in terms of their roster construction right now, but LeBron taking the minimum is so huge here, right? You don't have to move mountains roster wise to bring in LeBron. Usually when you're bringing in a star, you have to essentially clear out the rest of the roster to afford that star. Maybe you have to trade for him. You have to send key pieces out. That's where this really differs from LeBron's decisions in the past. I mean, he is going to a ready-made title contender. We already saw over the weekend, Sixers basically stealing KCP away from the Memphis Grizzlies on the minimum. LeBron coming in now means Dean Wade, who was one of their big splashy additions this offseason. Now he's a bench player. He's like your sixth or seventh guy instead of being your starting power forward. That's huge. You have VJ Edgecombe, who was one of the best rookies in that class last year. Now he's maybe the best number five option in the NBA. Anthony Simons, I really like as a sixth, seventh man off the bench as well. And look, the nice thing about LeBron, Jeff, even at age 41, is he fills multiple spots on this team. Like, yes, he's your nominal power forward, but he's also your backup point guard. He could be your small ball center. You know, he's still the queen on the chessboard. So it's fascinating to think about all the different machinations, all the different lineups the Sixers can throw out there when they are healthy. That is the thing. And the one drawback, the one critique I would make of LeBron choosing the Sixers is, if we're talking about winning a championship, I don't think you're doing that without a healthy Joel Embiid. He is tethering his hopes to Joel Embiid staying healthy for an entire playoff run. That might be the worst bet you can make right now in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to see the reaction across the league, what the teams that lost out on him are going to do. There are no real big free agent chess pieces anymore. So it's got to be a trade of some sort. The Heat have already, you know, shown, you know, they're in. They have to be in because of what they did to trade for Giannis. They have to probably find another deal to make now too, as well, because, you know, they can't get that same benefit there. It's wild to see. We spent a lot of time talking about the Heat. We'll move on from that. Talk a little training camp news, talk a little NFL news, but first, do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. All right, Nick, we got big news out of the NFL. I want to start off with the Arizona Cardinals. Jacoby Brissett just got a mini bag, if you will, a revised deal worth $15.5 million, chance to get to $21 million. You know, he was talking, you know, he wanted to get paid like a starter. He's gotten paid like a starter now.
Yeah, I don't know if he's fully gotten the bag. I think it's more of a, you know, like a carry-on bag, right? Maybe a personal item as opposed to, you know, a full-on check bag, but closer to what he was asking for, that's for sure. And, you know, the Cardinals kind of lost his negotiation to Brissett, who will, you know, we'll see how long he hangs on to this job. They do have Carson Beck, who's an appealing prospect. And look, if the Cardinals struggle as much as a lot of people think they will, maybe we see Carson Beck later in the season, but they're going to roll with Brissett at least to begin the year, who I believe went 1-11 as a starter last year, but put up some numbers, kept him in games. Arizona was at least a fun fantasy team. They're a fun team to watch. Now, I was on with our guy, Scott Seidenberg on VSiN last night, talking about some of the NFL losers, futures markets, fewest wins, last winless team, et cetera. The Cardinals are the favorites to be the last winless team, plus 225. They're also the favorite at plus 250 for the fewest regular season wins. I think Arizona has a significantly better roster than the Miami Dolphins. Miami, to me, is one of the worst rosters that we've seen in a while outside of Devon Achane. But the schedule does not do any favors for Arizona. They have the hardest schedule in the NFL by a decent margin, according to Warren Sharp. They are currently, Jeff, at least a touchdown underdog in their first 11 games of the season, per the DraftKings Sportsbook. They're double-digit dogs in, I think, like 9 or 10 of those games. It's not until week 12 against the Commanders, where they are only a 4.5-point underdog, that the schedule starts to ease up. So even if Arizona, with some of these fun pieces offensively, you know, even if they kind of repeat what they did last year, they put up some points, it's going to be a real battle. I mean, there is not a single game until later in the season that you would circle and say, yeah, I think Arizona could win that.
Yeah, I agree. And they haven't hit like bottom in terms of the roster deconstruction yet. whereas Miami has, and I think that's actually a favor in Miami's point, because young players tend to, you know, young teams tend to kind of accelerate ahead of schedule a lot quicker, whereas these teams that are still trying to, you know, peel off parts of their roster, I think that's the case. And of course, you get the division where there is no good game for the Arizona Cardinals. Right. You know, every single divisional game is just going to, they're going to be massive underdogs in those games. So I'm with you on that. I did not realize until this weekend that Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. I probably should have been noticing that a little bit closer. We paid more attention to the head coaching hire. Hackett had a coach speak index moment over this weekend where he's talking up James Conner, asked about Jeremiah Love. He goes, well, he's definitely a rookie. You know, we're getting that, you know, maybe we'll get some push down on Jeremiah Love and our draft costs now because of that. But that would be very fitting for the Cardinals if they went that route.
Yeah, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett's been a successful OC in the past. I think as many predicted, he was not a successful head coach. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, the Jeremiah Love comment, certainly not what you want to hear in the fantasy world right now. Arizona does have a glut of running backs. I think they probably cut or trade at least one of those guys before the season begins. But it's bleak right now for the Cardinals. It is. And again, there is talent on this team. That's the difference between them and a team like the Dolphins. You have Trey McBride, you have Marvin Harrison Jr., you have Jeremiah Love, you have a competent quarterback, at least in Jacoby Brissett. But like you said, playing in that division, no free wins, they're out of division schedule, completely brutal. So justifiable to me that the Cardinals are favored to have the fewest wins in the NFL this season. We're going to take a break. We're going to keep talking football when we come back. NFL player props, NFL win totals, play it or pass it. Coming your way next, this is Prop One.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here. We are with rotowire.com. Welcome to those of you joining us on the on YouTube TV, also on SiriusXM channel 158, simulcasting there. It's time for one of our favorite segments. We call it Play It or Pass It.
Smart play or stay away. This is Play It or Pass It.
It is NFL time when we talk about Play It or Pass It. We're going to do some player props and some win totals as well. We're going to start off with Tyler Shuck. Over 3,640 and 49 and a half passing yards. In other words, 3,650 basically. Minus 110 over at DraftKings. All of our odds at DraftKings. Play It or Pass It, Nick.
All right, so we start with the caveat here that, you know, minus 110 on a futures play like this, you know, do you really want to be tying up significant money in this? You know, you worry about injuries season long, but we are going to set that aside for the sake of debate because I think this is a really fun one to start off with. So like you said, we're basically looking at 3,650 on the passing yards number for Tyler Shuck. In the nine games he started last year, he averaged over 250 yards per game, about 251, which would have ranked sixth in the NFL had he qualified for the games or the attempts minimum. So you apply that to 17 games and he's well over 4,200 yards. To go just over this number in 17 games, he'd need to average about 215 per game. That would put him in the same range as guys like Jordan Love, CJ Stroud, Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix were in that zone last year, which feels very doable. The one hangup I would say outside of health, of course, is I do think New Orleans will have a better running game this year, almost by default. They were 31st in rushing EPA a year ago. They were ahead of only the Raiders, who were historically bad on the ground. So maybe they're a little bit less reliant on Tyler Shuck, but he also has better weapons around him. You have a running back at Travis Etienne who could expand into the passing game. Obviously, they brought in Jordan Tyson with a top 10 pick, and then you still have Chris Olave. But look, I like the Saints win total. I like them over 7.5. I think they can win the NFC South. I like Shuck as a late round fantasy quarterback option. I like Kellen Moore for coach of the year. If I like all that, Jeff, I think I have to like the over on this passing yards number. We will play it to start things off.
All right. Very good. Off to a good start. Off to a flying start. Saquon Barkley did not have a flying start last year. Kind of struggled. Offensive line was a real problem. The whole entire offense was a big mess. It was also arguable that he was natural regression after a monster year in 2024. We're back to it this year. Over 1,009.5 rushing yards, -110. Play it or pass it.
Oh, man. So this is a really, really low number, I think, for Saquon Barkley. And it's 100% just factoring in injury risk that, it comes with being a running back in the NFL. So, again, we have to set that aside to some degree for the sake of argument. Overall, though, I am back in on Saquon Barkley this season, mostly in fantasy, but I think this applies to the futures market as well. Timing them with these elite running backs can be really difficult, but Saquon is one of the guys that I've been buying a ton of. Happy to take him in the second round. My hope is that the departure of AJ Brown kind of returns the Eagles to at least semi-normalcy as a team, as a franchise, less drama, maybe easier to commit to running the ball, which has always been the core of this offense, even as they run through new offensive coordinators every year. Last year, of course, was a huge drop off for Saquon Barkley relative to 2024. Still played 16 games, still went over this number fairly comfortably, despite it feeling like mostly a disaster year. We're not asking him to repeat 2024 by any means. The number is not 1,750.5. I mean, just over 1,000 yards feels like a pretty low bar for a player like Saquon Barkley to clear. I think he could realistically, Jeff, do this in 12 or 13 games. I mean, 12 games would mean he's averaging about 84 yards per game. 13 games would mean he only needs to average 77 yards per game. And keep in mind, he averaged 125 yards per game 2 seasons ago. So I think if you say maybe he comes in somewhere in the middle between 2024 and 2025 production, I think Saquon goes up over this number pretty comfortably.
All right. Very good. Christian Watson, we'll go in your backyard, not your team, but your backyard. Christian Watson on the Packers, over 774.5 receiving yards. You get it at even money, player to pass it.
Yeah, going to my geographical backyard, I suppose. So yes. I know our guy, John Hansen, the guru, really liked this one when it was up at 799.5. That was -110. So now we're getting a slightly lower number. We're getting even money at DraftKings. We finally got some long-awaited consolidation in the Packers receiving room this offseason, at least on paper. Dontavian Wicks is now in Philly. Romeo Doubs is in New England. So it's Watson, it's Jaden Reed, it's Matthew Golden, and then Tucker Kraft, of course, once he is fully ramped up. With Watson, it's always going to be about health. Of the three players that we're talking about, he's the guy I would be most concerned about. He did get to over 600 yards in just 10 games a year ago, 17.5 yards per catch. It only had a couple high target games, though. The hope is that comes around again with the consolidation in that wide receiver room. But he's usually the big play guy. He's the vertical guy in that offense. He's the 3 for 110 as opposed to 7 catches for 75 yards. Betting on season long health is always going to be tough for a guy with Watson's history. I'm not sure this is a play I would actually make, but I see the vision at even money. I think this is one where he doesn't necessarily have to play all 17 games. If he can get to 14, 15, I think he can go over. Basically just needs to avoid the devastating, missing half the season type of injury. So officially, Jeff, I'm going to pass on this one, but I see the vision for John Hansen wanting to get this one in, especially at even money. We'll talk about some win totals in just a moment, but folks, the NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away. We are 10 days away from the Hall of Fame game. This is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing at our football special, just $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN experts. You also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get yourself full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com vsin.com/subscribe. Continuing our game of play it or pass it here on Prop Points. And Jeff, I'm going to throw you some NFL win totals. Coincidentally, we are going to start with your team, the Cincinnati Bengals. The number is 10.5. The over is plus 115. Are you playing it?
Coincidentally, Michael Cohen, definitely in a devious mind to start the week here, making me talk about the Bengals, trying to be optimistic about them. I am optimistic about them this year. I share Jonathan Van Tobel's take on this one here. He took this bet price in the NFL betting guide. It hasn't changed since then, which is interesting. First of all, the Bengals schedule is fantastic this year. According to Aaron Schatz, it's the best in the NFL. According to Warren Sharp, it's top five. They get the NFC South. They get a third place schedule. When, you know, rest wise, it's great too. They get the Ravens at home on a Thursday on short rest on New Year's Eve. Usually that's at the Ravens on a Thursday night game, including Thanksgiving last year. So big turnaround as far as that goes. Miles Garrett's out of the division. The Bengals did things they don't normally do. They traded their first round pick for Dexter Lawrence. They took big swings in free agency with Boye Mafe, Brian Cook, Jonathan Allen. This is not your father's Bengals here. They're doing things that are not expected. They had to do this. Their defense was hideous, obviously. Historically bad for the first half of the season. Somehow not the worst overall because the Cowboys exist. But, you know, they have a couple of things. At linebacker, I'm concerned about a little bit there. It's still a bad linebacking core. Depth at offensive line, in particular behind Orlando Brown, is a little scary. But this is a big play. I'm fully on board with this one.
I did see at the gym this morning, Jeff, a man with a Cincinnati Bengals logo tattoo on one arm and then a full tiger print sleeve on the other shoulder all the way to wrist. Oh, this was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I think that has to go down as a good omen if we're looking at that 10.5 for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Absolutely.
Let's get at least one more in here, Jeff. We're going to go to the Dallas Cowboys. We're looking at the over 9.5 wins plus 115 play it or pass it.
All right, this one's tight. Really close. I like that they hired Christian Parker, their defensive coordinator. I like the process behind it there. They didn't hire one of Jerry's cronies. They did a through interview process, landed on Christian Parker. I like the idea of him. They needed it. Dallas was last in defensive EPA per play, according to Sumer Sports. Even worse than Bengals, Commanders, and Jets. The Jets, who didn't have an interception all year, still had a better defensive EPA per play than the Cowboys. They do get a full season out of Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark. They drafted Caleb Downs. They bought low on Rashawn Gary and D. Winters. They signed Kobe Durant. That's an upgrade, but the Rams tried to upgrade Durant, so we'll see. I mean, how much of an upgrade it is. My concern is the schedule. The schedule is really tough. They face the AFC South. They get road games in December against the Seahawks and the Rams. That seems pretty bad to me. I went through their schedule game by game, kind of tried to do win-loss, you know, back of the envelope sort of thing. The best I could get was to 9-8. It's close, but I'm going to pass it, which just surprises me because coming into this offseason, I even think I may have talked about maybe the Cowboys winning the NFC East. South would be really tough for them to win. But the NFC East, I'm not sharing that opinion anymore. It's a pass for me.
We're switching things over to baseball when we come back. Eric Halterman joining us on the Progressive Guest Line with a Monday baseball card. This is Prop Points. You're watching VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our good friend Eric Halterman. He is RotoWire's features editor and MLB analyst over here at RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Halterman. Eric, every time we have you on, Zach Wheeler is on the mound, it sure seems like. That is the case tonight. Phillies at the Marlins. They play a Sunday night home game and then are on the road at Miami tonight.
Yeah, I guess maybe theoretically that shorter window to travel might hurt them a little bit, but I'm still going to take the Phillies in this one. I think if you take them on the run line, you get a nice odds of right around plus 100, much better than just taking them straight up on the money line. This is one where I'm going to pick against the offensive trend as of late. The Phillies have been 24th in team WRC plus over the last 30 days. The Marlins have actually had quite a good offense. They sit sixth over that stretch, but I think the pitching advantage more than tilts this thing in the Phillies' favor. Zach Wheeler has just been incredible. Everything we could have hoped for and more coming out of thoracic outlet surgery, a 2.16 ERA and 0.88 whip on the season, 31% strikeout rate to go the 6% walk rate. Also coming off four straight starts with at least nine strikeouts, allowed to combine just three runs in his last three outings. He's faced the Marlins twice this year, 12 innings, one run, five hits, 17 strikeouts. On the other side, Tyler Phillips, interesting story here. He is a former Philly who grew up a Phillies fan from South Jersey. He actually threw a no-hitter for the Phillies in his third career start back in July of 2024. Since then, he's had some success as a reliever, but since the Marlins moved him back into the rotation this year, has not gone particularly well. He's made 10 starts and one appearance as a follower. He has a 4.93 ERA over that stretch with just a 14.5% strikeout rate. So I'm sure he'll be amped up to face the favorite team of his youth. And if this was at Citizens Bank Park and he had all his family around him, maybe. But I think I'm going to pick Zach Wheeler to comfortably lead the Phillies to a win in this one.
Worth noting, Eric, that the Marlins are carrying a 12-game losing streak into this game. Since the All-Star break, they've been swept by Milwaukee, swept by Houston, most recently swept by the San Diego Padres. We are not that far removed from the Marlins being one of the most fun stories of this baseball season. Somehow still only three games out of that final wildcard spot in the National League. Would you consider biting on Miami to make the playoffs at 10-1, or has this been a devastating enough stretch that it's time to write them off?
I think those odds are still reasonably appealing. I think it is definitely more likely than not that they miss the playoffs, but if you're taking those odds, you're basically hoping that they win enough games in the next week that they decide to buy at the deadline. If they decide to sell, I think it's pretty unlikely that if you only have 85% of this current Marlins team and you've traded away a few key pieces, I don't think that gets over the line. I don't think we really expected them to be in the mix at all this year, so they might be a little bit quicker to decide to sell. So it's pretty unlikely, but I don't hate that price. There are some pretty interesting players on this Marlins team. If the pitching were to hold up down the stretch, they definitely have a chance to sneak in as that sixth seed. It's going to be a really interesting playoff race in both leagues. Ever since we've expanded to 12-team playoffs, seems like almost everybody's in the race, and that's where you're getting some interesting trades like that one we just got where the Red Sox and Nationals, who are both theoretically buyers, are swapping Curtis Meade for Connelly Early. We're going to have a weird deadline with even teams like the Marlins. Everybody, basically, other than those bottom 6 to 8 teams, should think that they're a playoff team this year.
Yeah, fascinating trade. Spent a lot of time talking about that on the RotoWire podcast last night with Scott Jenstad. I wish we had the bandwidth to do that more here, but we're going to move on to our next game. Speaking of the trade deadline, the Orioles and Tigers, massive series. Both of these teams are right on that cusp of either being sellers or buyers at the deadline. Obviously, Tarek Skubal is going to be on everybody's mind. But we got Kyle Bradish versus Keiter Montero tonight. Two relatively hot pitchers.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game. And I didn't have a strong lean either way as to who's going to win this one. Didn't feel confident enough to make a pick here. The side that I do feel confident in, though, is Keiter Montero to have over 4.5 strikeouts in this game. While the Orioles are hanging on in the edge of that playoff race, they do have the fifth worst strikeout rate in baseball over the last month. And Montero has a pretty low line here at 4.5 strikeouts because he hasn't really been a strikeout guy this season. He's had plenty of success on the mound, a 3.14 ERA and 0.96 whip while working mostly as a starter with six relief appearances as well. Just a 19% strikeout rate, but it's a 5% walk rate that's really been the driver of his success. However, 4.5 strikeouts is really not that much. And look at his line the last three games. His last time out, he actually struck out a season-high 8 against the Cubs. The two games before that, he reached 5 strikeouts while only throwing 3 3⅓ innings. One of those was actually a relief appearance because he's been back in the bullpen recently until Jack Flaherty got hurt. Now he's needed as a starter again. Montero's just been effective, and even though he doesn't get a lot of whiffs, he doesn't need all that many to hit the over today, and I think against these Orioles, he should do it.
Folks, the Circus Survivor documentary is back, and it's bigger than ever with $18.7 million on the line in a new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes. Did you miss episode one? You can catch it now on YouTube. Just search and make sure you're subscribed to the VSiN Live YouTube channel. Episode two airs this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. Whether you play Circus Survivor yourself or you just love following the drama, you don't want to miss this. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, or you could catch up anytime on YouTube. Again, just search VSiN Live. Talk with our friend Eric Halterman, one of our baseball experts at RotoWire. He joins us via the Progressive Guest Line. Eric, let's hit up the Guardians and the Reds in Cincinnati tonight. We get Slade Ciccone on one side, Chase Burns on the other. And you like a strikeouts prop for one of those pitchers.
Yeah, this feels like about the 53rd time this year that I've come on and recommended a Chase Burns strikeout prop. But he has been hitting his overs throughout the year. Through his 19 starts so far, he has a 29% strikeout rate on the season. That's driving a 2.42 ERA and a 1.11 whip. I fully believe in this Chase Burns breakout. I was nervous about his health heading into the year and missed out on the chance to get one of the biggest fantasy baseball sleepers, if we can call him that. He was certainly talked about plenty, but wasn't somebody we were expecting to immediately be this good, although it was always in there. This is a guy who was a big-time prospect, throws a really hard fastball and a hard slider as well, and that's basically all he needs. There's shades of early career Spencer Strider about Chase Burns' game, and against a Guardians team that you wouldn't associate with strikeouts typically, the strength of this Guardians lineup has been their ability to put it in play. Well, actually, over the last month, they have the sixth worst strikeout rate in baseball. So Chase Burns, even though he actually has a couple surprising starts recently where he didn't strike out that many batters, there's a 2 and a 4 in his strikeout total in his last three starts. On the season, there has been a ton of whiffs, and he still has plenty of starts recently enough where he's getting to 7 or more strikeouts, even a 10 pretty recently. I don't see major signs that Chase Burns is fading. I will say with this Reds team basically out of the mix at this point, I don't know if we can count any team out of it, but the Reds are basically out of it. They are not going to want to push Chase Burns too hard down the stretch. This is somebody who only threw, looks like 109 innings last year. He's already just shy of 108 now. So there's going to come a time pretty soon where we have to start talking about Chase Burns not going very deep into games and not hitting those overs. I don't think we're there yet, though, so I still feel pretty good about him striking out plenty of Guardians today.
Injury note for the Reds, Spencer Steer out a significant time with a wrist injury just announced by the Reds there. So that he was possibly a trade piece, no longer. Yankees, White Sox, we saw Max Fried come back slightly ahead of schedule and pitched very well in his first start back last week. He goes up against Noah Schultz tonight at the White Sox. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I like the Yankees in this one. I would take them on the run line to get a little bit of plus money here. Neither offense has been clicking recently at all. The Yankees are actually second worst in team WRC plus the last 30 days. White Sox are sixth worst, but I'm taking Max Fried well ahead of Noah Schultz. As you mentioned, Fried just came back from a long layoff, missed about 2 months with a bone bruise in his elbow, but 7 strikeouts in 5 scoreless innings. He looks to be just fine. Meanwhile, Noah Schultz on the other side, he's somebody who was a pretty big prospect a couple of years ago, had last year derailed by knee injuries, and they returned this year. Since recovering from patellar tendonitis, things have not gone particularly well for him. He's made 4 starts, and only one of them has really been at all good. He has one where he allowed 1 run in 5 innings. Everything else has been a mess recently. So Noah Schultz does not look right. Max Fried does, despite that recent injury. So I like the Yankees on the run line today.
Great stuff, as always, from our friend Eric Halterman. You can find all of his work over at rotowire.com. Put in that code VSiN, by the way. Get yourself 15% off any of our subscriptions. Find all of his picks today, of course, over at VSiN.com. And check him out on Twitter at Eric_Halterman. We'll keep the baseball theme going. Jeff Erickson's full MLB card for the Monday slate coming up when we return. Watch your prop points here on VSiN.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Monday edition of Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Just had a great chat with our friend Eric Halterman from rotowire.com, giving some of his leans on the Monday baseball slate. We'll keep it rolling with some MLB picks for you. Jeff Erickson about to reveal his card. Jeff, we will go game by game as we typically do. We will start with the lone game in the afternoon window. That is the Seattle Mariners on the road in Texas, taking on the Rangers. George Kirby, Kumar Rocker is our pitching matchup. Total coming in at 8.5.
Yeah, so this is the finish of a wraparound series Friday through Monday. Huge series. Top two teams in the AL West. Rangers are up 1.5 games. They've taken two out of the first three, but choked a lead yesterday. Could have been going for the sweep, but they gave up a lead in the eighth inning yesterday. They lost Josh Young. I think that's a big loss. One of their two best hitters on the season. He and I think Brandon Nimmo have been their two best players so far. Wyatt Langford's missed so much time. Langford actually missed a game Saturday, came back yesterday. Something to watch for there. George Kirby pitching today against Rocker. It's kind of a microcosm of the Mariners pitching staff. Pretty good numbers, but not great. But for a thing that's supposed to be a strength for the team, it's just like, okay. 3.57 ERA, 1.28 whip. On the road, it's kind of weird. 3.14 ERA. Okay, that's great. 1.42 whip. So he puts up on a lot of base runners. The good thing he does is he doesn't allow a lot of homers. Only 11 this year. None against the Rangers starting lineup for today and 100 ABs. On the other hand, Kumar Rocker, 5.08 ERA against and a 1.54 whip against lefties. He's allowed 12 homers, but 9 of them at home in Globe Life, which he kind of suppresses homers. Kind of surprising. Lefties tear apart Rocker. We're going to go bet on the lefties here. I'm choosing Dominic Canzone. I think you can make a case for Cole Young. You can make a case for Luke Rayleigh as well. I'm going Canzone over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI, minus 105 at DK. But, you know, pick your favorite left-handed Mariners hitter. I think they're going to have good days today.
Let's head out to Pittsburgh, where we get the Pirates hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks. Pittsburgh, a slight favorite on the home money line. Totals up at 9.5 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. We get Merrill Kelly. We get Mitch Keller on the mound today. Jeff, a couple plays for you in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, I like to bang home this point. Pirates games are kind of like the Nationals games, a cornucopia of scoring. We got Merrill Kelly on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Expected ERA is a really good stat. Often tells you what, you know, strips out a lot of the luck when it comes to an outing like that. Merrill Kelly's got an expected ERA over at Baseball Savant of 7.25. 7.25, first percentile. He is a guy you want to attack, especially with some of your hotter hitters. The Pirates, second highest scoring team in baseball at 5.54. They score more runs at home than they do on the road. Mitch Keller, no gem of his own at home. 5.68 ERA at home, 1.41 whip. You're going to take the over. You can find it at 9 at Bet Rivers. You have to pay a minus 120 price. You can get a better price if you want to play the 9.5 at a lot of other shops. So, but we're going to take the over 9 at Bet Rivers. And let's back Esmerlin, the magician Valdez, over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI, minus 114 over at DraftKings. Continues to roll. Kelly's allowed 8 homers against right-handed hitters among his 22 homers allowed so far this season.
Let's head back to that Phillies-Marlins game that we talked about with Eric Halterman. Zach Wheeler, Tyler Phillips is our pitching matchup. Phillies heavy, heavy favorites on the road money line, minus 191 at DraftKings. Totals down at 7.5. And as we mentioned, Jeff, it's been a rough last few weeks for the Miami Marlins, falling on hard times. I know you have a creative way that you're looking at playing this one.
Yeah, it might be hot down in Miami, but don't worry. All the whiffs are going to create a nice fan effect down there in Miami tonight. First of all, we get Zach Wheeler on the mound, and he's good in his own right. You could probably play a strikeout prop, but pay attention to just both teams' bats here. The Marlins, in the last 14 days, which encompasses their losing streak, they have a 64 WRC plus last in baseball and a 27.7% K percentage. That's the third highest in baseball. Meanwhile, the Phillies are actually second highest during that stretch at 28.3. Only Yankees have struck out more in the last 2 weeks. So let's take total strikeouts in this one between both teams, over 18.5, even money over at DraftKings.
Got the Blue Jays at the Washington Nationals tonight. Max Scherzer, Andrew Alvarez is our pitching matchup. Nats -120 on the money line. Total sitting at 9.5. I know you have a pitching and a hitting prop for us, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to start off by just discussing a little about the NL MVP. Is C.J. Abrams mispriced in the MVP market at 100-1? You know, Shohei Ohtani is the clear favorite. And understandable. I mean, he's unique. He's a unicorn. You get, I understand the arguments in favor of him. Pete Crow Armstrong is having an amazing year. James Wood, C.J. Abrams' teammate, is having an amazing year. Ohtani's -220 to win the MVP. C.J. Abrams is 100-1 to win the MVP. But do a side-by-side comparison of their stats at some point in time, and you'll see that Abrams offensively is actually coming out superior to Ohtani right now. More homers, more RBI, a higher batting average, more stolen bases. You name it, higher OPS in general, he's been a more valuable hitter. Now, you don't get to add in the pitching, that the Ohtani bump that comes with that, but Ohtani's not even going to pitch for a while now. He's, you know, with that knee issue, he's not pitching anytime soon. Abrams is on fire, 7 homers in 7 days. By the way, James Wood, 96 runs scored. The next highest in baseball is 72. Insane number there, by the way. Just so many fun national stats so far this year. I am going to take the C.J. Abrams home run prop today, +330 over at FanDuel, going up against Max Scherzer, making his first start coming off the IL. Happy birthday, Max. It's his 42nd birthday. He faces the highest scoring offense in baseball and a red hot Nationals team, too. I'm going to go with Scherzer over 2.5 earned runs, -114 over at DraftKings.
Nationals just a game out of that final wild card spot in the National League, tied with the Pirates right now at 54-52. Let's head over to that Guardians-Reds game, Jeff, where we have Chase Burns on the hill. Halterman liked that over 6.5 strikeouts for Chase Burns. He has gone over that number in 9 of the last 11. So I would imagine you considered that one, but if you want to take us in a different direction, how else would you play Guards-Reds tonight?
Yeah, the last couple starts, by the way, for Burns have been shorter. Strikeouts have actually been a little down the last couple times. So I kind of steered away from that just in case. Speaking of Steer, Spencer Steer out for a significant time with that wrist injury. Reds are in decision mode. However, I think I like their chances tonight there. And I like their chances to score some runs. They're picking on Slade Ciccone, who has just been pretty awful lately. We've been picking on him the last couple of starts. Had a great June, July, not so great. He's in, you know, I think he's kind of pitching for his spot in the rotation, and I don't like his spot here against J.J. Bleday and the Reds. Reds in particular at home are a much better hitting team. Bleday at home, 986 OPS, 11 home runs at home. Keep in mind, he's the first month of the season he was in AAA too, so he's doing that with less time. I like the Bleday over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI prop at -115 at DK. I also like the Reds team total over 4.5, also -115 over at DraftKings.
A battle in the NL East begins tonight, Jeff. The Braves on the road at the New York Mets, 7:10 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Pretty even on the money line. Mets -110, total sitting 8.5. Pair of lefties on the hill. Martin Perez taking on Zach Thornton.
Yeah, and let's lead with the news item here. Juan Soto out more than just 2 weeks, out significant time with another calf injury. Calf injuries, you just got to take all the time. Calf injuries, quad injuries, hamstring injuries, all that. If you rush a player back, chances of a relapse are pretty high. He's out. And with the Mets, he might be out for the rest of the season. And one NFBC main event team, a player dropped Juan Soto just because of the thought that he might not be make a significant contribution the rest of the season. Keep in mind that the Mets are in sell mode right now. You would think that this is, Martin Perez is a guy you'd want for the start. He's shaky. I didn't really go aggressively on bidding on him this week, even with this Mets start, because over those last 30 days, 5.40 ERA, 1.58 WHIP. However, I do like that he's facing a lesser lineup, and Zach Thornton is pitching very well for the Mets. Kind of sneaky how good he's been. 1.93 ERA. There's other prospects in the Mets system that are more heralded than Thornton, but Thornton's pitched very well, including a good start against the Brewers a couple of times out. So I really like the under in this game here. Under 8.5, you get it even money over at DraftKings as the best price.
Let's finish things out with our best bets of the night. Jeff, you've given us a ton of baseball plays. What's the best bet?
We're going to start off with the early game, so we'll know pretty soon whether that comes in. Dominic Canzone, over 1.5 hits, plus runs, plus RBI, -105 at DraftKings.
All right, I got football fever at this point, Jeff. If I'm counting down the days to the Hall of Fame game, we got to get an NFL play out there. Tangential to what we discussed earlier with the Miami Dolphins, I'm going to take the under 1.5 division wins for the Fish. This is even money over at DraftKings. I can see them taking one from the Jets. You know, there are always these crazy games against New England. They did beat Buffalo last year. I think the gap between Miami and the rest of that division, especially those top two teams, is massive. I don't think they get to two division wins. I'm surprised we're getting that under at even money. So we'll go ahead and lock that in. We'll be back with you in the same time slot tomorrow. Handing things off now to Money Move, Stormy and JBT coming up next here on VSiN.